find a text in Revelation, all right? Have you look at Revelation? Hallelujah. And verse 8, the Revelation 1 and verse 8. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Let us pray. We pray, dear God, that you bless the reading of your word. We pray that you'll grant us utterances in the Holy Ghost. Give us ears to hear and hearts that are receptive. We honor you, Lord. Let your word come alive into our hearts. We pray and ask in the name of Jesus Christ. And everyone say, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the one who is and was and is to come. Everything has a beginning and everything has an end. And even if there was no beginning and no end, we begin in God and we end in God. But every year has a beginning and every year has an end. That means there's a middle. So every year when we start, in every church and in every whatever, when you start at school, wherever, whatever you're doing, whether it's a job or school or church, everything starts with a hiss and a roar. Fantastic. And if we take off, it's like the aeroplane just taxiing down the runway and then takes off and everything's hunky-dory. We get up there. The only problem is there's a midway between the beginning and the end. And it is often in the midway that things seem to dive. You get tired. The enthusiasm of the start is waning. And things are not going very well. But we wait for the end because at the end we celebrate. But if we can make it through the middle, it's going to be fantastic. And it's in the middle that many times we either throw away stuff, we get angry, we leave, or whatever. That in the middle we need to maintain what we started because we want to celebrate at the end. I think that's why in every game, there is a halftime. And many times we need to come to that halfway place, take a little breather, and then begin again. And at the end of every game, they often make substitutes. Because at the end of every game is the most intense part of the game. It's where it's gonna you're gonna win or lose the game, and everything is to that end. Is everything is intense, even though you're tired. It's been a long game. Everything is happening at that end, whether it's boxing, the UFC martial arts stuff, or whether it's a game of rugby that you play. Or it at the end of every game, it becomes very, very intense. But you're also very, very tired. And it is in those moments that we stretch. It's in those moments that we reach almost for the unreachable. Whatever is left in the tank is empty, but you push because you know it's coming to an end. And the year is coming to an end. It's a great time to have Christmas, even though we know that Christ may not have been born in December, But it's still a good place to put Christmas, because at the end, when everything is stretched, your budget is stretched, your health is stretched, your capacity is stretched, it's a time to celebrate. And even if Christ was born in April, we need to put it at the end because it's a great time to celebrate. Are you okay? And we've been talking about how do you interpret life? Because many times we interpret life from our own background, we interpret life from our own cultural eyes, we interpret life from our perspective, and sometimes our interpretation is totally wrong. But because it's our interpretation, we believe we are right. How many believe they're right? All right? I know that some of you are right sometimes, but I'm always right. And that's what we think. We think we are always right. And so many times when we actually fight, we don't fight because we want to fight. We fight because we want to determine who is right. Am I right? That was a nice pun. Am I right? Hallelujah. And so many times when we are tired, we stretch. Hallelujah. And so we said this, and we've been talking about being stretched and being enlarged. We haven't moved from that. That's the one sermon. That's our one sermon from January up to now. And I hope when we get to next January, it's finished so we can have another sermon. Hallelujah. But we said we stretch to imbibe. We stretch out for ourselves so that we might get something from God, because we are running on empty. And when you're running on empty, you don't know what to do. The doctor says there's nothing we can do. There's nothing in the bank. There's nothing in the tank. We stretch for ourselves, and we stretch to imbibe from God the promise and the energy and the blessing and what that He has promised to us. His promises are yea and amen. That means they are double yes. Yea and amen in Christ. And if the promise is in Christ, then it's secure. It's not in me. If the promise was in you, I wouldn't trust it. But the promise is in one who is the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the one that who is and who was and who is to come. And because the promise is in that one, we can trust that it's going to come to pass. Why? Because He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. So when we interpret life, many times we may get it wrong, but if we're going to interpret life in light of who He is, as the psalmist said, in His light we see light. We only see light in His light. No one of us can actually, you never experience light that is pure. That light is not pure. Any light here is not pure. And all the lights that you see of Christmas is not pure. It's only in, that's the pure light. It's only in His light that we see light. If you ask a photographer and say, are these lights all right? He said, no, they're not pure lights. That's why a photographer has to measure the light, and he brings his own light. And when the flash of the camera, that light is close, but not close enough. But that light is more pure than these lights. And when that light is flashed, all these lights are dark. And when the light of Christ comes, everything is dark. That's why the Bible says God sits in darkness. He doesn't sit in darkness because He's dark. The reason it's dark is because the light is so pure where He is that everything around Him is dark. And when He comes back, the Bible says the sun will turn into blood, the moon will, everything will be dark. Why? Because a pure light turns up. And the Bible says it's only in His light that we see light. So every one of us interprets life, whether you're Samoan or Korean or European. And part of the reason why there is racial discrimination is the same thing. We are interpreting. We are interpreting people. We are interpreting life. Are you all right? And we think, because this is my perspective, that this is the gospel truth. It's not. And Paul said, when I was a child, I walked as a child. I talked as a child. I understood things as a child. I saw as, now I'm an adult. I put away childish things. Now I do things that are different. And we interpret life very differently when you're an adult. As we said, you know, a little girl, you know, says, Mom, you love me? Yeah, I love you, sweetheart. And then you take her to get an immunization injection. And she cries, to Mommy, Mommy. And then Mommy lets the bad man stab baby with a needle. And baby is looking, I thought you told me you loved me. And then the baby saw Mommy pay the guy that just about half killed her. So Mommy paid the man that half killed her. And his interpretation is, I thought you loved me. You got that man to half kill me, and then you pay him to kill me. That's interpretation of a kid. And why did the mommy do that? Because the mommy loved the kid. And sometimes God's like that. And we interpret God in the light of what we know, and most of the time we get him wrong. God is love. God is light, and in him there is no darkness. And yet when things are not going well, doubt! Give me a break! Especially when our loved ones are suffering, whether they are sick or whether they pass away. And we interpret it that way, and it's like, oh. Are you all right? Have a look at Isaiah chapter 57. Verse 1, the righteous perishes. Now that's a terrible thing. The guy is righteous. The man is righteous. The woman is right. The righteous perishes. That means they die. They live properly, but they die. The righteous perishes, and no man takes it to heart. Merciful men and women are taken away while no one considers that the righteous is taken away from evil. No, that's a powerful thing. Have you ever questioned God when a loved one passed away? Did he, we were living right for you? Well, why don't you ask Jesus? Did he live right for him? We're living right for you. Our children are living right. And now look, give me a break. And David has the same problem. David said, I look at the wicked and I might as well be wicked. He's prospering everything. His bread is buttered. His clothes are nice. He drives a nice car. And everything's hunky-dory. His children are doing well. And then David said, what is going on? And then the Bible says, and then I went into the sanctuary and I saw the end of the matter. And he said, I worship you. So when a loved one passes away, they're beautiful kid, beautiful dad, beautiful mom, and they pass away and say, give me a break. You know what the Bible says? No one considers that the righteous is taken away so they don't face the evil that God saw up here. And we said this, and I'll say it again, and that life is understood backward, but live forward. And when you're going through stuff, you never understand it because you're trying to interpret it, and your emotions are engaged, your brain is engaged, your schooling is engaged, your understanding is engaged. But you still don't understand. That's when you live by faith and lean not unto your own understanding. In everything, acknowledge the wisdom of God, and he will direct your path. Because right now, you don't know. You can't see the trees for the forest. And you don't know whether water is wet if you're a fish. Have you ever asked a fish, is the water wet? But the fish only understand that water is wet when the fish gets on the beach and a salmon is ready to eat. So we understand life looking back, but we don't live backward. We live forward, but we understand looking back. Why? Because the whole world, you and I, and the whole planet follow dead men. I said to Steve, the men that in your research for your PhD, the men and the women that you read about and wrote about and quoted and referenced, most of them were dead. And Steve said, not most of them were dead, all of them were dead. I said, so you got your PhD from dead men. See, all of us follow the dead. Muhammad is dead. 700 million Muslims follow him. Confucius is dead. Multiplied millions of Chinese follow Confucius. Lenin is dead. Multiplied millions of Russians follow him. They are dead men. And you follow them, I follow them. When we preach on Moses. Where does he live? He's dead. When we preach on David, then I went to the temple and I understood the end of the matter. Then I'm satisfied. Where's David? He's dead. You preach on Ezekiel, where is he? He's dead. So all of us follow dead men. And we understand life looking back. But we live forward. So when you follow Jesus, you know, try to convince somebody to know Jesus. But they follow dead men. Jesus died, but is not. Jesus died, but Jesus is not dead. Baha'u'llah died, he's still dead. Lenin died, he's still dead. Muhammad died, he's still dead. And Buddha died, he's still dead. Jesus died and he's not dead. The only God that conquered death is the God of the Bible. And he is the one that is, who was, and is to come. And he says this, I have a plan to do you good, to give you a hope and a future. So God is looking to your future. When we came to Whanganui, and we went over to Cleo, and the kids were quite small. We had a meal. Now the kids have got their own kids. But what was God doing? God was looking way ahead. Because the blessing of the righteous blesses others, but not only that, it blesses the generation that is to come, to give you a hope and a future. Hallelujah. So we live forward, but we understand life looking back, and then we move forward. But you can't move forward unless you live for the now. And many times, today is messed up because we are always trying to live 50 years from now. When you're living through today, if you can get through today, and even though I walk through the valley of the shadow, you're walking through, and right now in the valley of the shadow of death, you may not understand because it's dark, you're looking around, but you need to live by faith and walk by faith, because in that darkness, when you get through it, you look back and say, hang on a minute, I found something in there that I didn't understand. What did you find? You found a rod and a staff, and they comforted you, and you look back to understand the valley, and then you sit at the table of the Lord and all these enemies around you, but he's serving a table for you and anoint your head with oil. And even though there's hardly any hair left on your head, he still anoints your head. Hallelujah. Some people have black hair. Some people have white hair. Some people have brown hair. Some people have no hair. Some people have all those colors in their hair. But God still anoints your head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell. See, the valley is not your destination. The valley is just a place that you walk through. But you understand the purpose of God for the valley when you get over there and look back. But you're going to dwell in the house of the Lord for forever. Hallelujah. So many times your sorrow, and when you believe something that is not right, even though it's not right, you live that life. And you think you're doing all right. And sometimes you criticize, sometimes you get angry, but is this my lot? No, sometimes we just live a lie. Because we believe a lie. I go places, and I can use myself as an illustration because I know me better than most people. And I go to, there are certain parts of the body of Christ that don't like my smell. They don't like, because they heard people say things about me, and they never met me. So people respond to a presumption as though a presumption is fact. You know the sons of Jacob? They told Jacob, Joseph is dead, torn by a beast. This is his jacket. And Jacob believed that lie and lived in sorrow for 20 years. But his son was still alive. He lived in sorrow for 20 years because he believed a lie. And sometimes when you believe a lie, some people believe a lie about Faith City Church. Some people believe a lie about the Lord. You know, the liar came to Eden, and God said, you can eat of any tree of the garden. And the liar turned up. Is it really true that God said you can't eat of any tree from the garden? And Eve believed the lie, and we're all in a mess because somebody believed the lie. That's why when you interpret life, you interpret life according to the light of the Word of God. Otherwise, you'll be like Jacob. You'll live in sorrow for 20 solid years. Never move forward because he believed the lie of his sons. But what about Joseph? Probably thinking, man, I'm living righteously. And then I end up being thumped by my brothers, thrown into a pit and sold as a slave. My own brother sold me. And then he found himself in Egypt as serving Potiphar, who does not even believe in God. Have you ever worked for a boss that doesn't believe in God? Have you ever thought that he was an extension of the Antichrist? And yet Joseph served that man faithfully, and then the woman accused Joseph of adultery, and they threw Joseph in jail. I mean, the pit was bad enough, and then had to serve Potiphar, and now he's in jail. He probably thought, give me a drink. All right. And he never understood his journey. In fact, when the other two guys had a dream each, and he interpreted their dreams, you know what he said? Can you remember me to Pharaoh? He wanted to get out. It's probably the only way to get out that he knows. And then Pharaoh had a dream. And the butler said, just remember my floor. There's a guy in jail. He's in Kaitoki. He said he's a Christian. He believes in Jehovah. And he can tell you your dream. And when he went and interpreted Pharaoh's dream and became the governor of Egypt and his brothers turned up, the Bible says, then he remembered. Looking back, he understood the jail and the pit and everything that, because now he's a ruler and he had learned compassion, learned obedience by the things that he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to those that obey. Hallelujah. And then he said to his brothers, you meant it for evil, God meant it for good. He looked back to understand, but live forward. And there are things in our lives that you may be going through right now. And you say, give me a break. How come so and so? Let me say some things about the people of God, the champions of God, whether they are women or men, young men or young women. A spiritual champion never tells you they're going through a hard time. They just lick their wounds and carry on. And if you are an observer of them, you think they have actually got no problems. They have more problems than you know. But they have learned one thing. They've learned to walk by faith, where they raise the valleys and lower the mountains and straighten the crooked path. And when they walk, you think they're walking straight. They're not walking straight. They're up and down, in and out. But they're still walking because they know this is not their destination. Their destination is to appear before God in Zion. He's going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. But going through this right now, never understanding it, but living by faith. And then when they get here, they look back and say, oh, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Some of you are going through that place right now. And sometimes we need to interpret life in the light of the Word of God. If that is you, I want you to stand in where you're sitting, because I want to pray for us, because my time is up, all right? And I've got another service to do, okay? And then, but come back next week. Next week, I'm going to preach my most favorite message at the end of every year. I haven't preached it for a few years, but I like preaching it at the end of the year because it's the end of the year message, okay? And we begin, Alpha, Omega, beginning and the end, first and the last. He was and is to come. That's our life. And if we live in Him, in Christ I'm a new creation, in Christ I can do all things, in Christ I am righteous in Him, and Him is, He was and is to come. So stand to your feet, let me pray for us. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for your word. The entrance of your word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. And I pray for your children. We stand in your presence. We imagine in our sanctified imagination that you're looking down and grinning and saying, they are my children purchased by my blood. And they are learning to understand. They are learning to interpret life. They may look through a glass darkly, but the glass is being wiped every now and again, and they can see because the entrance of my word gives them light. And my word gives a simple understanding. So, Father, I pray right now for your people as they stand, and I stand with them, Lord God. And Lord, that our eyes, Lord God, will be washed with eyesel, that we may see life through the lens of your eyesight, Lord God. That we may see, Lord God, the things that are happening. Some of those things are great. Some of those things are not so great. But help us to know that in all that we do, you are involved in it because we are in you. And Lord, I pray that you will bless your people as they walk through their valleys, as we walk through our dark times. And thank you that there are treasures in dark places. The gold is not found on the surface. Neither is oil, neither is diamond or pearls or whatever. They are found in the darkness of the earth. And Lord, there are treasures in you that are only found in the dark. The darkness of the shadow of the valley of death. Going through the valley of Baca, making the valley a well. They go from strength to strength and appear before God in Zion. And I pray that your people will know your strength. That in our weakness, Lord God, we are made strong. Because your power is made perfect in our weakness. So bless your people, Father, I pray today in the name of Jesus Christ. Lift your right hand. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. God bless you. Dismiss us with your blessing, dear God. We give you thanks and honor today in Jesus' name. And everyone say, amen. Amen. God bless you.